This is a Zero Agenda News podcast. This episode is based on an evidence-graded timeline research paper published at zeroagendanews.com. Every claim in the paper is labeled by confidence and tied to sources, so what follows separates documented fact from inference and interpretation. 5 decades of strategic exemptions for Islamabad and maximum pressure on Tehran reveal a policy driven by alliance value, not non-proliferation principle. The paper covers the period from 1972 to 2025. It has 22 timeline entries. The timeline includes 20 entries graded as fact and 2 entries graded as conjecture. The episode follows the strongest points in the record and keeps the confidence labels audible. The first phase is Pakistan's covert program and United States accommodation from 1972 to 1990. January 1972, Bhutto launches Pakistan's nuclear weapons program. Following Pakistan's military defeat in the 1971 Indo-Pakistani War, Prime Minister Zulfikar Ali Bhutto convened a meeting of Pakistani scientists at Multan and committed the state to building a nuclear bomb. Bhutto had earlier declared that Pakistan would eat grass if necessary to acquire a nuclear device. This entry is graded as fact. From 1974 to 1977, Bhutto frames Pakistan's bomb in civilizational and Islamic terms. After India's 1974 nuclear test, Bhutto repeatedly framed Pakistan's nuclear program as more than a conventional national security response to India. Contemporary and later accounts quote him contrasting Christian, Jewish, and Hindu nuclear capability with the absence of an Islamic bomb. This entry is graded as fact. Mid-1970s, AQ Khan establishes uranium enrichment program using stolen blueprints. CIA confirms weapons-grade intent. Metallurgist Abdul Qadir Khan returned to Pakistan in 1975, having stolen centrifuge blueprints from the UINCO enrichment facility in the Netherlands. He established the Engineering Research Laboratories at Kahuta, later renamed after himself. United States intelligence agencies confirmed by the late 1970s that Pakistan was pursuing weapons-grade enrichment, with CIA assessments circulated at senior White House levels. This entry is graded as fact. April 1979, Carter cuts aid under Symington Amendment. Afghanistan soon changes the strategic context. The Carter administration imposed sanctions on Pakistan under the Symington Amendment, which prohibited United States assistance to countries pursuing nuclear enrichment without IAEA safeguards. Aid was cut in April 1979. 8 months later, the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan. Within weeks, the Carter administration began negotiating a resumption of military cooperation with Islamabad. This entry is graded as conjecture, so the script treats it as a documented claim or inference rather than settled fact. The second phase is tests, proliferation, and Iran's exposure from 1998 to 2005. May 1998, Pakistan tests 5 nuclear weapons at Chagai. Clinton imposes Glenn Amendment sanctions. On May 28, 1998, Pakistan conducted 6 underground nuclear tests at Chagai in response to India's Pokhran II tests, publicly declaring itself a nuclear weapons state. President Clinton imposed sanctions under the Glenn Amendment, cutting off United States military and economic assistance, blocking United States bank loans, and opposing international financial institution lending to Pakistan. This entry is graded as fact. November 1998, Clinton begins waiving test-related sanctions on Pakistan within 6 months of the tests. Within 6 months of the nuclear tests, the Clinton administration began issuing waivers to the Glenn Amendment sanctions on Pakistan, justified primarily on economic, humanitarian, and regional stability grounds. The waivers did not require Pakistan to join the NPT, dismantle its arsenal, or accept intrusive inspections comparable to later demands made of Iran. This entry is graded as fact. September-October 2001, post 9 and 11, Bush waives all nuclear-related sanctions on Pakistan in exchange for counter-terrorism cooperation. On September 22, 2001, 11 days after the September 11 attacks, President George W. Bush waived sanctions imposed on Pakistan under the Pressler, Glenn, and Symington Amendments, freeing Pakistan of most United States military and all United States economic sanctions for the first time since 1990. Congress subsequently authorized the president to lift remaining sanctions. This entry is graded as fact. The third phase is Iran under maximum pressure and Pakistan under tolerance, from 2006 to 2018. From 2006 to 2010, United Nations Security Council imposes 4 rounds of escalating sanctions on Iran. Between 2006 and 2010, the United Nations Security Council adopted four resolutions, 1737, 1747, 1803, 1929, imposing escalating sanctions on Iran, requiring it to suspend uranium enrichment, halt construction of a heavy water reactor, and cooperate more fully with the IAEA. The sanctions froze assets, restricted arms transfers, and pressured Iran's banking system. This entry is graded as fact. July 2015, JCPOA signed, Iran accepts unusually intrusive nuclear restrictions and monitoring. The Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action was finalized on July 14, 2015 between Iran and the P5+1 powers. Iran agreed to reduce its centrifuge count by two-thirds, cap uranium enrichment at 3.67%, reduce its enriched uranium stockpile by 98%, redesign the Arak heavy water reactor to prevent plutonium production, and provisionally implement the additional protocol. In exchange, United Nations, United States, and European Union sanctions were lifted. This entry is graded as fact. December 2016, Pakistan's defense minister tweets nuclear warning to Israel after fake news report. Defense Minister Khawaja Mohammad Asif tweeted a nuclear warning to Israel after a fake news article falsely claimed Israel had threatened nuclear strikes against Pakistan. Asif wrote that Pakistan was a nuclear state too. Pakistani officials later distanced themselves from the tweet. The event is a direct example of nuclear rhetoric from a sitting cabinet minister of a nuclear-armed non-NPT state. This entry is graded as fact. May 2018, Trump withdraws from JCPOA despite Iran's verified compliance, reimposed maximum pressure sanctions. On May 8, 2018, President Trump withdrew the United States from the JCPOA. All IAEA reports to that date confirmed Iran was in full compliance with its JCPOA commitments. The Trump administration reimposed all previously lifted sanctions, including on Iran's oil exports, banking system, and shipping, and applied secondary sanctions penalizing third country entities that continued doing business with Iran. This entry is graded as fact. The fourth phase is nuclear rhetoric and unequal consequences from 2021 to 2025. 2021, Pakistani school textbooks found to systematically teach hostility toward Jews and Israel. The Institute for Monitoring Peace and Cultural Tolerance in School Education, IMPACT-C, documented anti-Semitic content in Pakistani government textbooks across Punjab, Sindh, and the Federal Directorate. The report found textbook depictions of Jews as treacherous and conspiratorial and repeated delegitimizing treatments of Israel. This entry is graded as fact. May 2021, Pakistani Member of Parliament calls for nuclear strikes on Israel from the floor of the National Assembly. During the May 2021 Gaza conflict, Operation Guardian of the Walls, Member of National Assembly Abdul Akbar Chitrali of the MM, a coalition, publicly called for the use of Pakistan's nuclear weapons against Israel. Multiple other Pakistani parliamentarians called for declaring jihad against Israel and dropping nuclear bombs. These statements were made in official parliamentary sessions and broadcast publicly. This entry is graded as fact. October from 2023 to 2024. Post-October 7, Pakistani parliamentarians again call for nuclear war against Israel. United States aid and IMF loans continue. Following Hamas's October 7, 2023 attack on Israel, Pakistani parliamentarians publicly renewed calls for nuclear strikes on Israel. Bills were introduced in parliament praising Hamas. Senior religious figures called for nuclear jihad. The ADL described Pakistan's combination of a nuclear arsenal, institutional antisemitism, and open parliamentary calls for nuclear strikes as a potential ticking nuclear time bomb. This entry is graded as fact. The paper's interpretation turns on this point. Alliance value, not nuclear status, determines Western policy. The evidence across five decades consistently shows a single governing variable in United States nuclear policy, the strategic value of Pakistan as an ally. When Pakistan was needed to fight Soviet forces in Afghanistan, certifications continued despite mounting intelligence evidence. When Pakistani cooperation was essential for the post-9/11 campaign, all nuclear sanctions were waived within 11 days. The paper's interpretation turns on this point. NPT membership made Iran more vulnerable, not less. A structural paradox runs through the entire comparison. Iran's status as an NPT signatory subjected it to the obligations and enforcement mechanisms that Pakistan escaped entirely by never signing. The IAEA could find Iran in noncompliance because Iran had signed safeguards agreements. The United Nations Security Council could impose sanctions because Iran was in breach of treaty obligations. Pakistan, as a non-signatory, was legally unreachable by these mechanisms, regardless of its actual nuclear conduct. The paper's interpretation turns on this point. The rhetoric justification for targeting Iran applies equally to Pakistan and is unevenly applied. The justification offered by Israel and Western governments for escalating pressure on Iran, culminating in the 2025 strikes, rested substantially on the argument that Iranian leaders' statements about Israel's destruction made a nuclear-armed Iran existentially intolerable. Pakistan's founding prime minister made nearly identical statements in his official framing of the nuclear program, explicitly directed at Jewish nuclear power. A sitting Pakistani defense minister issued a nuclear warning to Israel. The paper's interpretation turns on this point. Alliance value, not nuclear status, determines Western policy. The evidence across 5 decades consistently shows a single governing variable in United States nuclear policy, the strategic value of Pakistan as an ally. When Pakistan was needed to fight Soviet forces in Afghanistan, certifications continued despite mounting intelligence evidence. When Pakistani cooperation was essential for the post-9/11 campaign, all nuclear sanctions were waived within 11 days. The paper's interpretation turns on this point. NPT membership made Iran more vulnerable, not less. A structural paradox runs through the entire comparison. Iran's status as an NPT signatory subjected it to the obligations and enforcement mechanisms that Pakistan escaped entirely by never signing. The IAEA could find Iran in noncompliance because Iran had signed safeguards agreements. The United Nations Security Council could impose sanctions because Iran was in breach of treaty obligations. Pakistan, as a non-signatory, was legally unreachable by these mechanisms, regardless of its actual nuclear conduct. The practical recommendation is direct. Apply NPT enforcement consistently or reform it. If NPT enforcement mechanisms are applied only to signatories, while non-signatories with actual weapons programs operate freely, the treaty creates adverse incentives for every state that currently lacks nuclear weapons. States contemplating acquisition face empirical evidence that non-membership is the safer strategy. The practical recommendation is direct. Condition Pakistan aid on measurable arms control commitments. United States and IMF assistance to Pakistan continues despite its nuclear arsenal, its documented history of proliferation, its non-NPT status, and open parliamentary calls for nuclear strikes on a United States ally. The central takeaway is this. The documented timeline matters because it separates what is established from what is inferred, and it makes the uncertainty visible instead of hiding it. This episode was adapted from the full evidence-graded timeline, where you can read the source-linked paper, review each confidence label, and inspect the evidence directly. Every claim sourced, every conclusion labeled. ZeroAgendaNews.com.